Good to see you guys. How are we doing this morning? As Becky mentioned, I'm Kevin. I'm on staff here. I'm usually playing in the band, but it's good to be with you in the talking place. I'm a big college football fan, and when it's all over, they call the off-season talking season. So welcome to talking season with Kevin here this morning. We're in a season of transition here at the River, a season of changes, and it's an exciting time for us. It's also a season of exploration. How can we do life better together? How can we do it with greater understanding, with greater empathy, and with robust skills of reconciliation? So we find ourselves in this series, Reconciliation, God's Way. So we'll spend the few moments that we have today talking about listening and listening well. As Becky mentioned, most weeks I'm in the band and we show up early each Sunday morning. And once we get our ears fastened on and we go through the first song, I will often say to the band, "Can everyone hear okay?" To which Tom Spencer, our lead guitarist, will always say, "What?" And it gets more hilarious as the weeks continue. But we're in this season in our world, and certainly in public life in this country, where we're not listening too well to each other, are we? It seems as if the issues and the topics we're after, the things that divide us and that we disagree on, they don't contain the dialogue that we actually need. It's much easier and much more satisfying to be angry, to advance our own interests, to retreat to the defensive position. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. In the book of Mark, Jesus is publicly debating with the teachers of the law, and in many of these situations, they're looking for a way to try to trap him, to get him to say something that they can use to arrest him or imprison him or punish him. In this particular moment, a teacher asks him a very interesting question. Mark 12, starting in verse 28. "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel." Now, let me stop there. He's already saying, "Listen, listen." Somebody in the first service came up to me and said, "Look, it's right there. Listen. Listen, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." The word of the Lord. Now, it's kind of rare that Jesus answers a direct question with a direct answer. So this is worthy of our attention. You know, often in the New Testament, he'll answer a question with another question, or with a story, or he'll doodle in the sand or in the dirt, or he'll even remain silent. But here he accepts the question and he answers it. What is the greatest commandment? What is the thing we should focus on? And he says, "Love God with everything that you are, and love your neighbor as yourself." So if you spend any time in church or Sunday school, you've heard this before, and it even exists, you know, broadly in the world and in the culture. Love God, love others. But both of these commandments are extremely difficult to live out. So it's easy to kind of gloss over them. It's like, yeah, okay, let's cut to the do not kill part. I think I've got that down. But loving people, loving God, what does it mean? Loving God with all that we are. I think this summarizes in some ways the lifelong task of the spiritual journey, to use all our abilities to achieve love for the entity that in fact is love itself. We could talk for years and years about that process. And in fact, in some senses, when any one of us gets up here to talk about the scriptures and about spiritual things, like, this is what we're trying to grapple with. How do we stay in the place where we embody the love that was authored by God and are giving that love back to him and to the universe? And speaking of the universe, the second part of this is tricky, right? Loving your neighbor as yourself. Well, what does this mean? Maybe I don't love myself. It's different than being nice to people. We can fake that, right? We can be professional, we can be cordial. We do that throughout the week, but loving your neighbor as yourself. We know ourselves. We know our inner monologue. We know our thoughts. We know our desires. These are the things that make up our daily existence. So to love our neighbor as ourselves, in one sense, is to know them as intimately as we know our own inner life. And to know someone, friends, we must listen. So how do we listen well? Well, it's hard to say, but we do know how to identify when someone is not listening well, don't we? You may have seen a recent commercial, an insurance company commercial, featuring professional athlete Teddy Bridgewater. And he's called in as a backup when a certain friend is listening poorly. So as we continue, let's take a look at this commercial.
He's just been really distant lately. Maybe he's scared of commitment or getting hurt. What do you think?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, Bridgewater, you're in.
Teddy Bridgewater, backup, listener.
If only there were backups in real life.
Go.
So we've been.
But at least there's Progressive to protect your home and auto.
Completely different person.
You think he's scared of commitment?
Exactly.
You're not a mechanic. It's not your job to fix him.
I know, but like, he forgot my birthday.
Stop it. He did not.
Yes.
Again? For more videos, click over here.
Hmm? What'd you say?
Nothing.
It's such a great ad, right? Have you ever felt like that? The phone is the real tell, isn't it? We've all been guilty of that. I don't care who you are. You know, we're in a moment, and we're caught peeking at the phone when we ought to have been listening. The other problem, you know, the other big problem is the restaurant television or the TV in the bar, you know, where it's like you're trying to unload to a friend and they're watching the ESPN ticker, you know. It's like, hello, hello. If only we had that person in our lives with that intent, deep eye contact, the encouragement, the Teddy Bridgewater level of attunement. So how do we become those types of listeners? Because that, I would say, is godly listening. Knowing others as intimately as we know our own selves. How do we truly know each other? How do we truly listen? As some of you know, when I'm not at the river, I work as a marriage and family therapist at a nonprofit center here in San Jose. My wife, Kimmy, is also a therapist there, and it's been a joy for us to be able to learn that profession, and we're still learning. And as you can imagine, you know, there are many, many modalities and approaches to psychotherapy, and there should be. But if I had to boil it down to its essence, and I've done it for 2 years, so I think I can speak for the entire profession and the history of... It can be boiled down to practicing a skill called active listening. Active listening is the practice of not merely sitting in silence while another speaks, it's an intentional, focused attempt to uncover the meaning, the depth, and the nuance behind the words and thoughts of another. There are many components to active listening, but I thought today we would just explore three of them together as we contemplate what godly listening might look like for us. The first is to be fully present. Be like Teddy Bridgewater, or better yet, be like Jesus. Can you think of a time or a story in the scripture where Jesus was not fully present, where he was distracted, where he was watching the ESPN ticker? Usually the opposite is true. People are not fully tuned into him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before he's crucified, we'll look at this in a few weeks as we draw closer to Easter, he was troubled and sick with worry. His friends and disciples were not only not listening, they were asleep. I wrote a little song about this some years ago that we sometimes sing on Good Friday called Keep Watch. He says to them, could you not stay up and keep the watch with me? My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death, he says. They're not only not listening, they're asleep. If you live long enough, you'll encounter that moment where you're talking to your lover about something important and you fall asleep. That's a great moment, isn't it? I just feel like we're drifting apart and I just really want to talk about... Are we fully present to those we seek to know? The great psychotherapist Dr. Carl Rogers invented what he came to call person-centered therapy. And the idea behind this is simply that you are fully attuned to the person sitting across from you. We forget the mumbo jumbo, we forget some of the trappings of how we're supposed to interact, and we just attune to the person. It sounds simple enough, doesn't it? When I was in school, we would watch videos of Dr. Rogers with clients in the 60s, and his level of intent and just leaning forward and looking at them. It was almost as if he wanted to climb into their lap to get closer to what they were and the essence of who they were. The person sitting across from us longs to be known, longs to be listened to. Can we be those kind of people? Because we all want to be listened to. Many, many years ago, I was in a history class, and it was a survey class that everybody had to take. And so there's about 300 people in this huge lecture hall. And I was sitting in the very, very back row, which is where I like to sit usually in those days. The instructor, the professor, is about a mile away on stage, you know, and my friend leans over to me and says, "Hey, what page are we on?" And I said about this loud, 53. And immediately from the stage, the professor says, "Excuse me, excuse me." And he's pointing to me in the back of the room, in a room full of 300 people. And I was thinking, he can't surely be talking to me. "Yes, you, in the red corduroy shirt." It was the 90s. "Would you please listen?" I couldn't believe it. Everyone in the place was looking at me. We love to be listened to. We long to be listened to. Next, be patient. This is difficult. We have places to be. Can we cut to the part where we experience the healing, the reconciliation part, the part where I get to talk and interject and offer wisdom? You know, many people presume that we go to therapy to have someone tell us what to do to fix our lives. This was certainly what I was after the first time I went to individual therapy. And that particular therapist that I had hardly said a word. It really kind of pissed me off. But over time, I could actually hear myself coming up with my own conclusions about my life and my mental health. It was like almost like a cartoon or something. But that's the beauty of active listening, and listening well. Proverbs 17 says this: "The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint, and whoever has understanding is even-tempered. And dig this, even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongues." Do you ever have trouble actively listening because you're jumping to the moment of repair, the piece of wisdom you'd like to offer that will make you look clever and brilliant and wise and like a trusted friend? Or can you just be with people? Can you let their story unfold? That's the patience of active listening. And finally, withhold judgment. Active listening means letting the hidden meaning, the subtle context, the deeper truth, the uncomfortable realization, letting that come to the surface. Another way to say this is to avoid the defensive position. I try to work through this all the time in couples counseling. After years together, how do we make peace with one another? After years in relationship, after years as a church community, how do we find the common space between us? By listening, by validating feelings, holding that space as long as we need to, so the other person feels heard. If we can do that, we'll grasp the idea that the most important place we share in relationship is when we understand that the reality between us is shaped by how the other person is experiencing me, not by what I deem to be true or what actually happened. This is a major, major paradigm shift for us. And for me, and to me, it's the crux of couples counseling and much of counseling in general. How is the person in relationship experiencing what I say, what I don't say, what I do, or what I resist doing? That's the truth of their experience, and that's the place of relational health and healing. Because in relationships, perception is everything. You know, as a church, the river has wounds. Some of these wounds are closing and healing, even as others open up. Some of our wounds are still awaiting to be dealt with. And this is part of the life of community. This is what it is to journey together. If we can avoid the defensive position, and I do mean we, I'm part of this, healing will come quicker and more fully. The poet Rumi says it better than I ever could. You may have heard this. "Out beyond ideas of wrongdoing and right doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. When the soul lies down in that grass, the world is too full to talk about. ideas, language, even the phrase each other doesn't make any sense. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that what we're all after? Oneness with God, oneness with each other, oneness with ourselves. Listening and holding non-judgmental space can be the gateway to that field of peace. So maybe you're thinking, that's nice, Kevin, but I'm not sure it's necessary because I've got ChatGPT. I've got Claude, I've got Gemini, I've got Fred, I've got Kermit, or I've got whatever AI thing has been released this week and is going to make our lives better. I don't need to be listened to necessarily, and I'm not sure people need to listen to me. Well, look, I think it's great. I see people all the time who come in and say, hey, I've been thinking about something. I've already run it through ChatGPT. I've got some ideas. Like, would you like to? And it's great. It's more data. It's more cycles for us to be involved with whatever we're thinking about. But I brought a visual aid this morning. A few weeks ago, my son gave me a desktop therapist. And here he is here. He looks a little bit like Rob Grauman, who was at the first service, so that was fun. But I thought, you know, let's just try it out. Like, let's see what listening well looks like from the desktop therapist. Well, Dr. Grauman, it's good to be with you, and I want you to know that I've been thinking about some things, and I've come to realize some things about myself.
What do you think would make that better?
Well, I think that I just need to think about it some more, and I think talking about it with you is really helping me. I realize that I'm just kind of stressed and worried.
Why don't you spend some time reflecting on that?
I think that's a great idea. I think I'm going to do that this week, and I'd like to continue doing that with you.
I'd like you to talk more about that.
Well, I would like to tell you more about that. I just feel like I'm worried, and I'm kind of overwhelmed, and it's stressing me out, and I'd like to be more at peace.
Tell me about your mother.
Okay. The desktop therapist, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have time to get into my mother, but she's a wonderful person. So in one sense, listening is so easy, it can be simulated by an algorithm or by a plastic toy, right? It's part of who we are. It's part of the job description of being a human being. There is, though, no substitute for the real thing. I know you knew that was coming. But to sit with another human being and to reason together in that shared, messy emotional space, that's the gold mine. I'll often say to my wife, after I've spewed about something, processed something, I'll just say, thank you, I feel so much better. And she'll always say, I didn't do anything. And I'll say, yes, you did. You listened, and I feel better. And I feel better because, as David Augsburger says, being heard is so close to being loved that for the average person, they are almost indistinguishable. Isn't that amazing? I think it's true. Let's close with a story from the Old Testament. This is a strange story, the story in which God has decided to destroy the city of Sodom. And we find this moment in Genesis 18, between God and Abraham, verse 22. The men turned away and went towards Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right?" The Lord said, "If I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Then Abraham spoke up again, "Now that I have been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of the righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5 people?" God says, "If I find 45 there, I will not destroy it." Uncomfortable pause. Once again, he spoke to him, "What if only 40 are found there?" He said, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "May the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there?" God answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." Another uncomfortable pause. "Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there?" God says, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he says, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And when the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left and Abraham returned home. What do you notice in that story? You know, listening in our age, in our context, can be seen as a sign of weakness, right? This story doesn't end well. It doesn't really have a happy ending. But in this moment, we see in the story that Yahweh is a listening God, a God of strength. This is the God of the Old Testament, the God of wrath, as it were. But here, he displays mercy. Notice he's present, he's patient, and he withholds judgment. If God is outside of time and space, he could have easily stopped this exchange. Abraham, let me stop you right there. I know what's going to happen. I know what you're going to say. Blah, blah, blah. Can we just cut to the chase here? He shows mercy. He shows presence. He shows patience. He withholds judgment over his servant. If Yahweh can do this for us, surely we can do it for one another, and surely we can reconcile, and we can change. Before the band comes up to lead us in song again, we just have about 5 minutes to reflect on all of this. Where do you need to work on your active listening? Your presence, your patience, your withholding judgment. Do we listen well to God? You know, oftentimes when we pray, well, I'll speak for myself. Oftentimes when I pray, it's like, I would like these things to happen. I would like these bad things to be over quick. I would like these people that I love to be okay. And I don't always listen, right? Can we share this kind of space with God, withholding judgment over his plan, over his will, over his nature? That's contemplation. That's the deep spirituality right there, where we just sit. Can we do that? Where do you need to be listened to? Is there somebody you can get your phone out right now, even in text, and say, hey, can we get together this week? I need a listening ear. We all need that. Reach out to someone or grab our prayer ministers over here as we continue. You can grab any one of us. We'd love to listen to you as well. As we reflect, let me pray for us as we continue, and then the band will come lead us. God, we long to be godly listeners. First of all, we long to listen to you that way. What are you saying to us about our lives? What are you saying to us about this community? What are you saying to us about how we might show up for our families, for the people we work with, for our community, for our country, for our world? God, we do pause and listen to you this morning, and as we reflect and sing together, would your spirit move among us, bring healing, bring clarity. Thank you for this time, in Jesus' name, amen.